السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام، سكت brothers, sisters. We find ourselves in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, mashallah. It is a month in which we can discuss many aspects regarding the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since this is the month in which Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, as well as the month in which he passed away. Therefore, we can study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be studied and should be studied in every single month. It is not confined to any particular month. But since people generally focus on the birth and the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we take advantage of the opportunity to speak about the beautiful seerah and life of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with this intention that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the ability to practically implement the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to adopt the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are many different ways of living ourselves, living in this world. Different styles, different trends, different habits, different ways. Each country has got its own ways, its own styles. And those trends and those styles are affected by or influenced by various factors. The way the person grew up, the kind of friends that he or she had. The mindset of the person is then changed and is influenced. كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif that everyone is proud with regards to what they have and their ways. Just being proud of our ways and of our country, so the person says proudly South Africa. So the person feels that he is very good, as he's a South African or he's a US citizen or whatever it may be. But that doesn't mean he is really the best. It doesn't mean his way is the best. Each person will argue that my way is the best, as well as say his way is the best. What criteria do we use to assess and to judge which is the best way? The best criterion is that criterion or that judgment which is made by Allah Ta'ala Himself directly. That being who is the creator of the seven heavens and the earth, that being who is the Hakim, who is the all wise. So Allah Ta'ala says with regards to the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لقد جاءكم ولقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. We have got an excellent and an exemplary example in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he is our role model. Mawlana Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullah alayhi used to say that why do you call a person a role model? Role model. So that this person is the namuna, this person is our, you know, the person we look up to. So why do we call him a role model? This is because generally what happens is that when you have a model or Miss World or some beauty pageant, then you find that everyone, all the photographers in the media houses, are rolling behind her. They're running after her to get a picture. So role model is someone that everyone can follow. It can, you know, go behind that particular individual. That is a role model. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you look at every single facet and aspect of his life, it was exemplary. Wonderful ways, wonderful habits, beautiful akhlaq, noble character, generosity, kindness, love, compassion, mercy, the detachment as far as dunya is concerned, that spirit of selflessness that was found in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these were all excellent examples for man till the day of Qiyamah. So therefore, in this month of Rabi'ul Awwal, and one of the brothers that attended, which we had commenced a certain topic here in the Khanqah, I think 3 or 4 weeks ago. So he had suggested that we continue with that topic. So inshallah, we will use this opportunity to discuss that one particular aspect and relate it to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we had commenced in our introduction, speaking about the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the life and the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how we can then implement that in our lives. And therefore, a person, if he studies the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can somehow find some example in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which we can then fit in our own lives. Sometimes the person is unkind to us. Sometimes the person is nasty to us. Sometimes the person disgraces or humiliates us. Sometimes the person does not fulfill our rights. Or sometimes the person is going through some kind of financial difficulty. Sometimes the person is going through some health difficulties. So you will find in the life of Rasulullah ﷺ, there will be some example of all of this. As far as the being humiliated in front of others, this happened to Rasulullah ﷺ on so many occasions. On so many occasions we find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially in Makkah al-Mukarramah, he was on so many occasions he was humiliated, he was disgraced, he was called names, he was mocked at, he was jeered at. To such an extent that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a famous market in which people would converge, and a large crowd of Arabs would come in, and various tribes would come in. They would converge on this particular market. It was a very large gathering. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would use this occasion to invite people towards Deen. He would invite people towards the worship of one Allah. The mushrikeen of Makkah, they specifically appointed a few people to follow him and to keep on announcing that, listen, this man here is mad. He is a madman, don't listen to him. Everybody, this is a madman, don't listen to him. Now, can you imagine, can you just picture that scenario? Rasulullah is walking, someone is shadowing him and actually in front of him calling him these kind of names. But Nabi Kareem Sassim just ignored and just continued and ignored and continued. The pressure that was put on Rasulullah Sassim to abandon his way, to leave out the preaching of Deen. Various techniques and tactics were used. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Makkah al-Mukarramah, they tried different things until eventually they called him. They said, listen, what is it? Do you want wealth? If you want wealth, we'll give you all the wealth. If you want some name and fame, maybe you're trying to become the leader of Makkah, so now you're trying to. So if you want that too, don't worry, we'll strike the deal. Just stop saying all these things. Stop speaking bad about our gods, and we will make you the leader of Makkah. You want to get married? You want any particular woman here? We will show you all the most attractive women in Makkah. You can choose whichever one you wish to, and we will get you married. So they tried that too, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they went to the uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib. They put a lot of pressure on him, until eventually he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he told him, listen, why don't you consider stopping this particular thing? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was now tears in his eyes. He turned around and he said, oh my uncle, if they put the sun in my right hand and if they put the moon in my left hand, then too I will not leave out calling towards the worship of one Allah. So this was the extreme amount of determination that was in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as far as determination is concerned, determination for keeping up the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for holding up the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam an exemplary example. And then we can fit it into our lives. That in our little life, we will also find that people will mock us. People will make it difficult for us to practice some aspect of deen. Some aspect of deen, there may be some difficulty. Then we just consider and reflect upon the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and here we will find an example. As far as the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what can we speak about the love that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to others? So much of mahabbat and love which we cannot understand, and we'll give one example, and we have mentioned this. But whatever we say here is being mentioned over and over again. It must refresh our ishq for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to make us understand the ishq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the kind of love that he gave out to others. Allahu Akbar. The sahaba ikram, how much of love they had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than they loved their own parents. More than they loved their own parents, they loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. More than they loved their own children. One incident that took place in Madinatul Munawwara, the Battle of Uhud. We know that that particular battle that had taken place, many, many lessons for us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Madinatul Munawwara rather, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a constant fikr and fear. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made hijrah from Makkah al Mukarramah to Madinah Sharif. He had to leave Makkah because the people wanted to assassinate him. They had surrounded his entire home to assassinate him. So even the enemies came to the extent of even taking the life of Rasulullah. Sometimes you say, how come I've got enemies? How come people, you know, we've got enemies, or this person doesn't like me, or that person doesn't like me? If it is because of our akhlaq and so on, then we need to change. But the person is doing everything right. He's being kind to people, he's being loving, he's being caring, he's sharing, he's performing his salah, he's doing everything, and then he still has enemies. So there too, if he studies the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many enemies Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had? Such enemies that were prepared to even take the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had so much of hatred that they even came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and spat directly into his face. That's the kind of malice they had for Rasulullah, a hatred. So therefore, to have enemies doesn't mean a person is rejected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it's the other way around. If the person is on deen and the person is on haqq and he does not have enemies, then there is actually something wrong. Every single wali of Allah must have an enemy. And this is substantiated by the ayat of the Quran Sharif. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًا. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, in this way, we create and we make for every Nabi an enemy. So Allah Ta'ala will actually make an enemy for that Nabi. There will always be an enemy. Study the life of every single Nabi and he had enemies. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates animosity for. This is the challenge that they have to go through. This dunya is a place of challenge. This dunya is not jannat. You have to have enemies. You must have enemies. Every person that sahib kamal, every person that has got some goodness in him, he will have people who are jealous. Must have. He must have people who are jealous. One particular brother, Allah Ta'ala grant shifa, suffers from a kind of a sudden seizure. And he just goes into a state. So he was mentioning to me, Mawlana, you know what happens? Is at the point when this thing overpowers me, the seizure overpowers me, he says, I can actually see the person who is making seher on me. But he says, when I come out of the seizure, I can't recall anything. But at that point, he says, I'm actually speaking to the person and saying, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? So now, obviously, he also, mashallah, had ta'aluk with Mawlana Sultan Sahib Rahmatullahi, as I told him, that now, just leave everything in Allah Ta'ala's hands. Because Allah Ta'ala makes it such that we must have enemies. You must have enemies. That is part of this. Is part of this world. And Allah Ta'ala, yes, you are going to go through some difficulty, you go through some pain, but Allah Ta'ala is rewarding you immensely on the sabr that you are exercising. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a mu'min never ever loses out to such an extent that even if a thorn pricks a believer, he is rewarded upon the sabr of that. Even that thorn that pricks him, Allah Ta'ala is giving him thawab. So Allah Ta'ala will create people who hate you. Allah Ta'ala will create people who have jealousy. The person buys a new shoe, somebody will be jealous. The person puts new shoelaces, someone will be jealous then. So you always find there will be somebody who is jealous. People, Allah has made it such, and we have to learn to accept that. We cannot, you know, we must not be idealistic that, you know, I'm a perfect world, must have absolutely no enemies, no one must. If that's the case, then we'll never be able to do anything in our lives. Because then the person will keep on saying, no, I don't want to do that, because then they're going to get upset. Sometimes he wants to make amal on some aspect of deen. Now he says, no, if I do this, then they're going to get upset. Keep the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala in front of us, forget everyone else. He gave a very beautiful example. He says a person was in a room and he had mirrors right around, whole lot of mirrors. Now there was a bird that was flying in the room. Now he was trying to catch the bird in all the mirrors. So he went to this mirror, nothing. He went to that mirror, nothing. He carried on in all the mirrors, he got nothing. So as I said, he would carry on like that till Qiyamah, he won't catch a single bird. What he needs to do is that one bird in the center that is flying, forget all the mirrors. That one bird in the center, catch that bird, you catch all the birds in the mirror. He says, our problem is that we're trying to please everyone else. No, I can't do it this way because then that one will just, or this I can't do that, or I can't grow the sunnah beard because what they will say. Can't keep my pants above the ankles because what this one will say. And so on and so forth. So we're trying to please everyone, and in so doing we are achieving nothing. But if we make an effort and focus on the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please one Allah, inshallah Allah Ta'ala will make it such that majority of the people will be happy with us.
Inshallah.
Those people who are meant to be our enemies, that's taqdeer, that's part of your reward. That person Allah Ta'ala is making it such, that person who is jealous, that's why person who makes ghibat of you, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, if he got information that anyone made ghibat of him, he would immediately send them a hadiah. He says that because basically, you have transferred your good deeds into my account. I need to give you something in return for it. That's why Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi said that if ghibat was permissible, if I had to make ghibat, I'd rather make ghibat of my own mother, because at least my good deeds were going to my mother's account. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding.
Ameen.
So we will have enemies, and in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi, such enemies as we had mentioned, that they came to the point where they were ready to take the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi, and they had encircled his house completely. And then Allah ta'ala made it such that the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi went through there reciting the verses of the Quran Sharif. Those people became blinded. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi travelled to Madinatul Munawwara. But now in Madinatul Munawwara, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu was always in danger. There was always this fear that someone would try and assassinate Rasulullah. And there were instances that took place. Look at the bravery of Rasulullah. I mean, Medina Sharif, there were many occasions. On one occasion, in Medina Munawwara in the early days, all Sahaba Ikram that were there, that were staying in Medina Sharif, were always on high alert. That at any time the enemies could launch an attack. So once in Madinatul Munawwara, they heard a sound late at night. It was an extremely dark night. It comes in the riwayat. It was so dark that the person could not even see his hand in front of him. Those days were not like how we have today, where we have lights in the streets and so on. And especially when it's not a full moon and there's cloud cover at night, it becomes immensely dark. So such was the darkness. Now the sound was heard. Sahaba Ikram slowly started coming out of their homes. Now they started gathering together. Now they try to make mashura. We need to do something to protect the life of Rasulullah. First figure now is, let's protect Rasulullah, sir. Suddenly they hear the sound of a horseman coming in full gallop. Now all Sahaba, now what's happening here? And suddenly they find Rasulullah seated on a horse with a sword around his neck. He says, all of you can go and rest. I did a full gallop around the boundary of Medina Sharif. There's no nothing there. There's no army there. Look at the bravery of Rasulullah. Such bravery we cannot even understand. That was the bravery of Rasulullah. And to understand also, in Makkatul Mukarramah, Nabi Kareem Sassim would constantly go to Ghare Hira, the cave of Hira. He would climb that mountain all alone. Spend 2-3 nights there. Those of us, alhamdulillah, we also had the opportunity of climbing. It takes with the stairs, now they have stairs. Takes you 1 hour to reach the top. 1 hour to come back down. Imagine the week Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam climbed there, there was no stairs. That also shows you how fit Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was. And in Medina Sharif, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was plus minus 50 years old when he was in Medina Sharif. To then go on a horse, full gallop, in the darkness of the night and come back, that tells you the strength of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a personality who sacrificed him. So this was the bravery of Rasulullah. So this constant fikr and fear. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina Sharif, the fikr was there that his life would be at stake. And so this one particular incident also depicts that aspect, that the enemies were waiting to launch an attack on the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even in Medina Sharif, there was that constant fikr and constant fear that the enemy may launch an attack. The life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is at stake. And then finally the Battle of Uhud takes place, where information is brought that, look, the enemies are going to attack. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, look, what is the mashwara? So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was more of the opinion that let's rather fortify Medina Sharif, let the enemies come and just try and protect ourselves. But the young Sahaba said, no, young sir, we go out and meet them. We'll go out. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw the enthusiasm of the youth. He then wore double coat of armor, according to some riwayat. And he went out, and Nabi Kareem Sassam gave strict instructions. And again, the intelligence of Rasulullah, the planning of Rasulullah Sassam, if you study the wars in which Nabi Kareem Sassam engaged in, Nabi Kareem Sassam was a master tactician when it comes to warfare. Absolute, amazing, the tactics that Nabi Kareem Sassam used as far as warfare is concerned were phenomenal. And this then was found in the lives of the Sahaba Ikram, some of which is phenomenal. In the form of the Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, kind of techniques that were used. One particular battle as the Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, the Muslim army was extremely small compared to the enemy. So as the Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu said, look, as far as numbers are concerned, we've got no chance. So what he did was, he selected he positioned the army in such a place that they were on sort of a mountain or hill. And he said, right, what I'm going to do is, two or three rows of the army, and those days they wouldn't fight like how we fight, where button is pressed and a missile is launched, and they would fight hand to hand combat, face to face. That was a different kind of a situation. So he placed the ranks and the rows and the subs of the Muslims. He placed approximately 3 or 4 subs on the position where the enemies could see. They could see about 3 or 4 subs. And the balance of the army, he hid them on the other side. So they couldn't see the entire army. Then what he said is that each sub will fight for a very short period of time, then immediately you move right to the back, the next sub moves forward. And he kept on rotating the subs. So the enemy, they said, what's happening? Looks like this army is not coming to an end. This army is not coming to an end. In the process, they lost all their confidence. And one particular battle he participated. So he looked at the wind direction. He said, okay, the wind is blowing in a certain direction. Again, we are short-staffed. We don't have much soldiers here. The wind is blowing against us towards the enemy. So immediately behind the Muslim army, he collected as much grass as he could. Dry grass he collected. And he set it alight. Now the smoke from the dry grass started becoming a problem. But it blew behind the Muslims into the enemy's faces. And in the process, it made it extremely difficult for them to fight. And alhamdulillah, this battle was won in that way. So these were the techniques that Nabi Kareem Sassam, similar was the case. Look at Battle of Uhud. How Nabi Kareem Sassam looked and scanned at the entire mountain. He said, these are the weak spots. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Jubayr, he says, you stand here, 10 of your, or 40 of your men, do not move from here whatsoever. Nabi Kareem Sassam immediately saw the weakness. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu was a Sahabi at that time. When he saw that the Abdullah ibn Jubayr, many of the men had moved down, he saw the weakness and immediately took advantage of the opportunity and unfortunately inflicted severe harm onto the Muslim army at that stage. So this was what had taken place in that particular battle. But if you look at that entire scenario and how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam handled the situation, the determination of Rasulullah, the spirit of self-sacrifice. So coming back in, alhamdulillah, it suddenly comes to the mind. We were speaking about the love that the Sahaba-e-Kiram had for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the kind of love that he had for them and what they had for him. So one particular Sahabiya, she was on the outskirts of Madinah Sharif and the ladies were waiting for any news with regards to their family, their kith and kin, how are they okay? So news reached the Madinah Sharif that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been made shaheed. And the reason for this was that the Sahabi by the name of Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, who was the first teacher in Madinah Sharif. He was a very, very wealthy Sahabi, young person in Makkah al-Mukarramah, came from an extremely affluent background. But when he accepted Islam, his parents kicked him out of the home. He abandoned everything to be at the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam then sent him as the first muallim and teacher of Madinah Sharif. He started teaching the people in Madinah al-Munawwara, teaching them deen and Islam to such an extent that they loved him so much. And he also resembled Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the battle of Uhud, he became shaheed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was deeply affected because his condition was such that when they pulled his kafan to cover his face, his feet became exposed. When they pulled the kafan to cover his face became exposed. This was the sacrifice, and yet the same youngster in Makkah al-Mukarramah, he would wear the most exquisite garments. This for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he became shaheed, Sahaba-e-Kiram mistook him, and many of the mushrikeen mistook him for Rasulullah. And now the news started spreading like wildfire that Nabi Kareem Sassam has become shaheed. Many Sahaba-e-Kiram even lost completely. Some Sahaba-e-Kiram just sat down, finished. If Rasulullah Sassam is gone, there's no need to live any longer. They just stepped down in the battlefield. It completely gave up. Of course, there were certain Sahaba who saw Rasulullah SAW immediately called out that Nabi of Allah is here, all of you stand up. That's when the Sahaba Ikram immediately rallied around the Mubarak body of Rasulullah SAW and used their own bodies to shield the Mubarak body of Rasulullah SAW. May Allah Ta'ala reward those Sahaba Ikram. This picture that Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, when those rings of the helmet are in the jaw Mubarak of Rasulullah SAW, he goes and with his teeth, he pulls out his teeth to remove those. This was the kind of love that the Sahaba Ikram had for Rasulullah. So this one Sahabiya, she, as she comes, reached the army now, there was total chaos, absolute chaos. Because they thought Rasulullah had passed away. So people just lost their senses. So they started coming to find out and get any news of their kith and kin. So immediately as she approaches, news reaches her that your father has passed away. She recites and says, Inna. She says, but how is Muhammad? How is Muhammad? As she moves further, then news is reached that your one son has passed away. She recites and says, Inna lillahi, but where is Nabi? Where is my Nabi? It is said that another son of yours has passed away. She still says, but where is my Nabi? Until it is told to her that your husband has passed away, she says, but where is my Nabi? Allah. And then she comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this has been recorded in the books. And she comes and she is brought close to the camel Mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she says, Ya Rasulullah, something to this effect, that knowing that you are alive, all that pain in my heart completely disappears. This was the love that the Sahaba-e-Kiram had for Rasulullah. We cannot understand this. That is why we say that Sahaba-e-Kiram loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than they loved their own children and their own parents and their own family members. This was real ardent love for Rasulullah. Our love is merely confined to the lip service. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by talking about the seerah and the life of Rasulullah, there is a certain percentage, inshallah, of muhabbat that can be created in the heart. Sure. And this is the real objective of these things. Similarly, is the case, and that is why if you study, Rasulullah said, Ashabi kan nujum. My sahaba ikram are like guiding stars. بِأَيِّهِمْ اِقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِهْتَدْ Any one of them, you study their life, you can get hidayat. If you look at the Sahaba-e-Kiram, what? Allahu Akbar. When it comes to obedience, one particular Sahabi is walking to the masjid on Friday. It is the time of Jum'ah Salah. He's coming to the masjid. Nabi Kareem Sassam is giving the khutbah. Nabi Kareem Sassam immediately calls out and makes an announcement, all those who are standing, sit down. He is walking outside, he is not even yet at the masjid. Immediately he sits down outside. He said, my Rasulullah said, must sit down and sit down. How can I ever do anything? One particular sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has a gold ring on. He was not aware. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the gold ring. We know for men to wear gold is not permissible. When men are not allowed to wear gold. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately pulled the ring out and threw it on the floor. The sahabi, Allahu Akbar, if it was one of us, so we say, check this. How can he do something like this? He should have told me nicely. Sahaba ikram were not like this. The sahabi immediately thereafter, he walks away from there. Other people tell him, your gold ring is lying on the floor. Why didn't you pick it up? You give it to your wife, to your children. Is that which my Nabi has thrown? How dare I go and pick it up? How dare I pick it up? Another sahabi, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is walking in Medina to Munawwara. He's walking with the sahaba ikram. And as he is walking, he immediately sees there is a certain sahabi who is, his house is being extended. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith sharif, لا تتخذوا الضيعة فترغبوا في الدنيا. Do not acquire too many properties, because what is going to happen, the person will start inclining towards dunya. Now of course, if the person does it for investment purposes or one or two investments, there's nothing wrong in that. But here we're talking about where people now, one building after the next building, and buying another building. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, eventually a person will become too attached to dunya. And this is not advisable. Because we must remember today, I met a very wealthy person. And so he was telling me, mashallah, you know, alhamdulillah, my business is such now, that you know, I only come to business late in the morning, and by 2:30 I'm gone already. So I told him, mashallah, it's very good to see that the business is serving you and you're not serving the business. You know? Now you can use your extra time for the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the khidmat of some deen. Go and use your energy towards the khidmat of some deen, especially as the person becomes older. Now you find some people, they reach old age and it's just more and more and more until finally the angel of death strikes and then the person is gone. Are those buildings going to help the person in akhirat? They're not going to help. So Nabi Kareem Sassam used to actually discourage too much of this extension. So Nabi Kareem Sassam, of course, it doesn't mean now we're not allowed to live in a simple little home and we can't expand our home, because then the converse is there also. When Nabi Kareem Sassam made dua that Allahumma ghfir li zambi wa wasi' li fi dari wa barik li fi rizqi, that, O Allah, forgive my sins and make my house spacious and accommodating for me. So in today's time, a person should make his house spacious and accommodating. But then we also have to be cautious and draw the line. Because sometimes we can go overboard, and then as a result, we find that the person... So keep that fikr should always be there, that this must not divert me from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is diverting, and that's the yardstick to measure, if it is diverting me from the remembrance of Allah ta'ala, then now I need to curtail it. I need to stop it, or I need to now just try and space it out in such a way that it doesn't divert me from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nevertheless, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam caught sight of this sahabi who had extended his home. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not happy. He asked sahaba ikram, whose home is this? Who is doing this here, building extra? So they mentioned the name of that sahabi who was not present at that time when they were walking through the streets of Medina. The sahaba ikram, it was their habit that every day they would make an effort to try and spend a few moments in the suhbat of Rasulullah. To such an extent that sometimes two sahaba ikram would make an agreement between themselves and listen, you know what, let's take turns in our business. So one day I'll go out, then that day you can be in the company of Rasulullah. Then the next day you go out and I can be in the company of Rasulullah. So they would, sahaba ikram would make it such that sometime every day they would be in the company and sohbat of Rasulullah. Later that day, the sahabi, after he had finished his work, he came and he presented himself in the sohbat of Rasulullah. Nabi Kareem sallam, he made salam, Rasulullah sallam turned his face away. That much. Again, if it was us, what would have happened? Exactly. We become very upset. This sahabi became concerned. Immediately he started inquiring from the other sahaba ikram that, tell me, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is there anything that he said? Is there something that he said or did I address? So they said, well, there's nothing. It's just one thing that we know, is that whilst walking in the streets, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi caught sight of the extension that was taking place in your home. And he just asked who it is and that's all. The Sahabi immediately got up from there. Immediately went back and demolished that entire extension. He says, if this extension could have caused the face of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi to turn away from me, then I don't need that extension. This was the loyalty of Sahaba Ikram. We don't even have a fraction of this, respected elders and brothers. These were Sahaba Ikram who were selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why some people criticize Sahaba Ikram. Allahu Akbar. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in every single khutbah, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah, Allah, fi ashabi. That beware of Allah with regards to my companions. Man ahabbahum fa bihubbi ahabbahum. Whoever loves my companions, it is because of his love for me that he loves my companions. وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَهُمْ فَبِبُغْضِي أَبْغَضَهُمْ. And whoever hates my sahaba, it is because he hates me, that is why he hates my sahaba. So subhanAllah, this was the loyalty of sahaba ikram, that willingness to immediately submit to the command of Rasulullah s.a.w. Not even a clear command, just a mere indication of Rasulullah s.a.w. was sufficient for that. That is why when Nabi Kareem Sassam went to Makkah al-Mukarramah again as a conqueror now, and what a conqueror he was. Today when people conquer lands, they start executing and killing and plundering and looting. Nabi Kareem Sassam entered Makkah al-Mukarramah with such humility. It is mentioned in the riwayah, Nabi Kareem Sassam was seated on his animal, on his camel, in such a way that his beard Mubarak was touching the saddle of the animal. And tears were rolling down his eyes in thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, there was a time from the same Makkah I had run for my life. Today you have made it such that I am now walking in as a conqueror. But look at the humility. Allahu Akbar. If that was occasion to be sitting high up with the head, that would have been the occasion. But the Kareem Sallallahu head was so low and down. A lesson for myself and all of us, that when Allah ta'ala gives a person power, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person honor and izzat, then we should even be more humble. That is why they say, the tree that is laden with fruits, you'll find that those branches come down to the ground. The more fruit they are, the more lower they come to the ground. Jo khali hai, that which is khali and empty, so that one stands up high. So the more Allah has blessed us, the more humble we should be. And this is clearly evident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when he enters Makkah al-Mukarramah, now prior to entering, some of the mushrikeen, they sent one or two spies to now scan the Muslim army. So one particular mushrik, he managed to get in. Or he was actually, he came through to try and make some negotiation. So he watched this whole scenario around Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making wudu. Sahaba ikram were around him. He witnessed that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would gargle his mouth, when he would spit out the water, Sahaba would not allow a single drop of water to touch the ground. When Nabi Kareem Sassam would clean his nose, they wouldn't even allow that water to reach the ground. Any water that dripped from the Mubarak body of Rasulullah Sassam, Sahaba would not even allow that to touch the ground. So he came back to his people, he said, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَحَبَّ أَحَدًا كَحُبِّ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ مُحَمَّدًا. He said, I have traveled here. I've gone to kingdoms, I've gone to the Roman Empire, to the Persian Empire. I've seen how people around the king look after the king. But I've never ever seen anyone love any group of people love a person like how the companions of Muhammad love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've never seen that. One sahabi, he did cupping for Rasulullah. We mentioned this incident. After drawing the blood, they used to use a horn in those days to draw the impure blood. Nabi Kareem Sassam told him, like, dispose of this blood. So he goes around and says, I want the blood Mubarak of Rasulullah. Where can I put it? Where can I dispose of this? He then takes the blood and he drinks it. Comes back to Nabi Kareem Sassam and says, yeah, I got sort of the job. Nabi Kareem Sassam, immediately Allah Ta'ala probably said wahi to him. He asked him, what did you do with it? He said, Ya Rasulullah, it was your Mubarak blood. I thought, where can I really put your blood? Which ground can I put it on? So I thought, let me just drink it. Nabi Kareem Sassam said that person who has got the blood of the Nabi in his body, the fire of Jahannam is haram. Fire of Jahannam is haram. So this was the love that the companions of Rasulullah had for him. That the loyalty. So if we study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will realize that in every facet and aspect of our lives, we can find this example and example in the life of Rasulullah. I recall one particular brother who was going through a lot of depression, tremendous depression. We were sitting in the office of Mawlana Sajjad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi in the madrasa. And Maulana on the right hand side, those who went to the office, Hazrat had a frame of the green dome. It was an older picture, beautiful green, zoomed in the picture of the green dome. So Hazrat told him, you must get one frame like this, or picture, keep it in your house. And every time you're feeling down, you can stand in front of the green dome. This is not some kind of masla or sharia or something. It's just but Hazrat is giving him some piece of prescription. It's a prescription. The doctor will give him some prescription. So he mentioned that, just go in front of the green dome and look at the green dome and think to yourself, ponder over the sacrifices, the pain, the hardship, the mocking, the jeering, the pain that Rasulullah went through in his life. Imagine, start from the start. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu is born. No, he hasn't even seen his father. His father has passed away prior to his birth. Isn't that sufficient already? Then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu at the early age of 6 years old, just when he's becoming attached to his mother passes away in front of his own eyes whilst on Musafar. Isn't that already such pain? And then thereafter he goes to his grandfather Abdul Muttalib. Just for 2 years he's in the company of Abdul Muttalib. Just becoming a little attached, and again he's taken away. Pain after pain after pain. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa look at the determination. Did he ever lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allahu Akbar in Ta'if, that incident which is so touches the heart, where they stone him, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa is chased like a dog, until eventually in the scorching heat, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa finds a place, he sits down on a rock, and the dua that he makes, that dua, the gist of that dua, that Ya Allah, if it is some sin that I have committed, that this is happening to me, that Ya Allah, I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to forgive me. He could have said, Ya Allah, why are you doing this to me? But look at the humility there. Again, such humility. The angel is summoned, the angel in charge of the mountain. O Nabi of Allah, Jibreel alayhi salam, this is the angel in charge of the mountain. With your permission, grant him permission, he will destroy, he will crush the people between these two mountains. Finish. Just give one hukam and order. If we had an opportunity to take revenge against somebody, if we wanted to take revenge, first opportunity, we say, can't you even summon the angels of the sky to send down stones also? Say, rain stones on them as well, and then cause the earth to crush them as well. This is the kind of hearts that we have. We're just waiting to take revenge, waiting to hurt the next person. But Rasulullah said, no, no. Perhaps if they don't accept, perhaps someone from their progeny will accept. Look at the shafqat. Look at the mercy that he had. Had it not been, and reality is, it is because of the shafqat and the rahmat of Rasulullah that today, myself and you are Muslims. Because it is Muhammad ibn Qasim who came from the progeny of Taif, who went to India to pass the deen of Islam there. It was that same shafqat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that kindness and that large forgiving heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of that you today, you and I have got Islam and Iman. So again, the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beautiful sifat and qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was such that it won the hearts of people over. And this is the reality, respected as and brothers. If we can all implement and inculcate within ourselves the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then without much bayans, people will be attracted to Islam. Today it's so sad. I mean, just today also I had a conversation with a non-Muslim person, and on the phone we have to tell them that, listen brother, don't look at the Muslims, because unfortunately, and this is with every religion, it's not only with Islam. They too will tell you in the Christian religion is the same thing. Don't look at the Christians, because then you'll get a very bad image of the Christian religion. And Moïse used to also say this. He said, how sad it is that today we have to tell people that don't look at Muslims to understand Islam. Study the kitabs, study the books, and then you'll know what Islam is. Islam is a religion of kindness. Islam is a religion of honesty. Islam is a religion of consideration for others. But if you're going to look at Muslims, you're going to see how inconsiderate they are. If you're going to look at Muslims, you're going to see how dishonest they are. Unfortunately, the Muslim has become such that we are standing at the door of Islam, stopping people from coming into Islam. So we have to tell people this, that please don't look at the Muslims, study Islam with an open heart, and inshallah you'll be convinced with regards to the beautiful, wonderful, perfect religion of Islam, mm-hmm. that it encompasses every facet and aspect of our lives, whether the person wakes up in the morning, whether the person goes to toilet, whether the person comes out of the toilet, whether the person is eating his food, how to interact with others, how to deal with his neighbors, every aspect. Islam is a complete way of life. Other religions, you'll find that the religion is confined to the church. That's all, it's just confined to the church. What they do outside is their problem. They say there must be a separation between religion and your personal life or your business or your politics. Separate the two. Muslims, we say Islam is a complete way of life. It encompasses every facet and aspect of our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to develop the beautiful akhlaq and seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our own lives. And Allah ta'ala make it such that our hearts can all be attached to Madinah Sharif and towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Amir rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentioned to somebody, one person said, Hazrat, make dua and stay in Madinah Sharif. So he said, sometimes it's better that you are, your body is here and your heart is there. Then your body being there and your heart being elsewhere. So Allah ta'ala make it such, and Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullahi is always saying that even though a person didn't go for Umrah, but if his heart is attached to Madinah Sharif, he is beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And sometimes the person can be standing right there in the Haram Sharif, but his heart is elsewhere. One person came to Hazrat Mawlana Patel sahab rahmatullahi alayhi in Madinah Sharif. He had one dream. So Hazrat told him, listen, sure you won't mind if I give you the interpretation. No, please, Hazrat. So he says, you are in Madinah Sharif, it seems as if you have committed adultery here in Madinah Sharif. And Allah Ta'ala is warning you, so make tawbah and istighfar. Now the person is in Madinah Sharif, but this is what is happening. So sometimes the people go and the intention is, now it's a holiday, the person now December, then go elsewhere, let's make a holiday. So that should be, the person will get some relaxation, but the main thing should be, I'm going to make ziyarat of Rasulullah. We are going to Makkatul Mukarramah to cleanse our hearts, to strengthen our nisbat with Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah Ta'ala will give such sukoon and such relaxation within the heart which you cannot even understand. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that our hearts and our nisbat and our ishq for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is intense and strong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all ashiq ya Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, this last Rabiul Awwal, we had a program in one of the musallas. And that particular area was such that there were many individuals who had misgivings with regards to our ulama and, you know, the fact that they do not have sufficient ishq for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And only through the help of Allah Ta'ala, the program commenced with durood and salam. And we had one of the students reciting some poetry, some ash'ar. So mashallah, after that, two or three of these brothers, they came and said, please, Mawlana, bring him again, because we really enjoyed the program. Sometimes they need to hear this, that ishq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what our Hazrat had, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept.
Ameen.
Subhanallah wa bihamdihi.